Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because
good morning. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the program. It's Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's our normal Thursday lineup. We'll have our college football analyst and Heisman Trophy voter, Brent Beard, join us in just a second. Second portion, we'll talk a little Baker Sporting Goods High School Roundup with the Prep Zone's Marty Paulman. If you missed it last night, a walk-off two-run homer for the Dodgers. They defeat the Cardinals in the wild card game, so the Dodgers will now play the Giants. But let's talk a little college football on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. We're going to head up to Jackson and talk to Brent Beard. Good morning, Brent. How are you?
Shane, I'm a little sleepy after staying up watching the game like a lot of people did last night. The wild card games are amazing. I tell you what, it's really tremendous in October when you've got the Major League Baseball playoffs and college football going on at the same time. And listen, people forget this, but we're going to be talking college basketball before we turn around. But the main thing is for us, another big Saturday of SEC football coming up.
It really is. Before we jump into this week, Brent, I want to get your thoughts on last week, because it was supposed to be a big week in the SEC, obviously. I think most people thought Georgia would handle Arkansas. I think most people thought Alabama would beat Ole Miss. But, gosh, I know you were at your daughter's wedding, and before you walked her down the aisle, the Ole Miss game was out of reach because of some of Lane Kiffin's decisions.
Yeah. Lane had a drop-the-mic moment, which, to his credit, he apologized for. He told people to get their popcorn ready, so he has been basically abused on Twitter because of that. Even Big Al, the Alabama mascot, found a popcorn outfit by the fourth quarter. I'm not sure who found that, but I thought that was amusing. At the same time, Alabama basically, after Ole Miss drove almost the length of the field, then took over the game and really never let up. But I still think that even though Ole Miss lost Alabama, Georgia beat Arkansas, I still think Ole Miss and Arkansas, who, by the way, play each other this week, are still really good football teams and are both going to have good seasons.
Yes, no doubt. Looking at this week's top 10 in the AP, it's some names up there that you normally don't see, Brent.
Yeah, Cincinnati at number 5, giving them a lot of credit. Now, they beat Indiana and Notre Dame. I'm still not sure, Shane, truthfully, that if would the committee allow them in, it still would be, if you're a Cincinnati fan, you'd be biting your nails, and I don't think they'll have the strength of schedule to do it. But we will see, and that's part of expanding the playoffs and how important that is. Iowa, Penn State, that's coming up, is going to be really exciting, to say the least. They actually play on the field this week, too. So, and Michigan and BYU being up there. Michigan continues to have a good year. They're running the ball well. And look, BYU actually may have a better schedule and may be more considered than Cincinnati if they run the table for the playoffs.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I'd read that somewhere. Are you surprised at all that Oregon and Ohio State are still ahead of Michigan and BYU with them being undefeated?
I think with AP voters, both those teams have such strong reputations that even a loss will not do them in. And again, we found from the committee that you're basically given a mulligan. And then if you can prove you can run the table, you'll certainly be given strong consideration. The Pac-12 desperately needs Oregon to get in. And as far as, here's a switch, isn't it? This year, Ohio State could probably gain a lot more from beating Michigan. It's usually the other way around. This year, in an unusual year, it may be just the opposite.
We got a Facebook Live here. Pretty good question for you, Brent, from brought to you by Melvin Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. Joseph asks, who does Brent think is the Heisman frontrunner right now? Seems like a wide-open race. And quite honestly, nobody's really done a whole lot.
No. I mean, there'd be a lot of people who would be talking about Bryce Young. I mean, he has 17 touchdown passes and leads the league. The Ritter kid at Cincinnati, I think, deserves a little bit of praise at this point. But I think you're correct. It's still way too early in a lot of ways. But, I mean, it's a great question in a lot of ways. But I hope what we get away from a little bit this year is from it being a quarterback award and look at more of the receivers, even some defensive players. Stingley at LSU now is out of it because of his injury that we'll get into later. But right now it's way too close to call.
Yeah. Here's another Facebook before we jump into some of the games this week. John says on Facebook Live, here's a scenario. Does a one-loss SEC runner-up get in the college football playoffs over an undefeated Cincinnati or BYU?
Yes.
I think
the people you've got on that committee inside that room will choose a Power 5 school before they choose a non-Power 5. Now, look, is that fair? No. But that's why people need to be screaming from the mountaintop that we've got to expand this playoff from 4 to at least 8 and hopefully even 12.
Yeah, so basically if Alabama and Georgia both go to Atlanta, both undefeated, regardless of what happens in that game, they're both going to be
correct
in the playoffs. Real quick, and I agree with what Chris says here on Facebook Live, I think the leveling of the playing field in college football is the lack of elite QB play this year. I agree with that. I also agree that the transfer portal has evened everyone out as well. Brent, big game up in Dallas. It's the Red River Shootout. Texas OU. OU still undefeated. They haven't played great. Texas has played well since they got blown out against Arkansas. What do you think about this game?
Oh, I think it's a tremendous game. I mean, Spencer Rattler who a lot of people thought, by the way, would be open to the Heisman Trophy too, has basically become a game manager, according to a lot of people on Twitter, and there's probably some truth to that. I still think the Bijan Robinson, the Texas running back, may be the best player on the field. I tell you what, this would be tremendous for Steve Sarkisian if he won this game. That would be a real tremendous feather in his cap to get going again. So, I mean, I'm looking at still OU. They're finding ways to win. Alex Grinch has done a good job still with this defense. But the reality of it is, if you're a Sooner fan, it seemed like every game goes down to late in the fourth quarter, and this one probably will too.
Yep. Dan says on Facebook Live, it's an SEC preview game in Dallas, and John says SEC Nation will be there. SEC Nation will be there next year.
I think there may be a lot of truth to that. Yes.
Yep. And I guess the biggest game in the country this weekend is number 3 and number 4, Penn State, Iowa, and the Big Ten. And, Brent, I'll be honest with you. I've never wanted to sit down and really watch a Big Ten game, but I think I'm going to watch this one. Now, it may put me to sleep, but two really good, solid football teams, not real exciting, but kind of old-school Big Ten-type teams. What do you think happens there in Iowa?
Well, I'm going with Iowa because of their defense, and the numbers are amazing. They're, get this, Shane, they're only allowing 4.1 yards per play. They leave the nation with 12 interceptions and are tied for number one with Hawaii, of all schools, with 16 forced turnovers. So, and again, it'd be interesting to see how Sean Clifford and Penn State handle this. This is a big game, obviously, in that Eastern Division, the Big Ten, is really it's probably as strong as the SEC West normally is this year. But I'll go with Iowa because of what they can do defensively this year.
Yep. And then Dan said, I'm surprised that game is at noon, referring to the OU-Texas game, which is 11 o'clock their time. But it's always at that time. I talked to a buddy of mine yesterday on the show. Just like Florida, Georgia is always at 3. It doesn't matter if Florida and Georgia are 1-6, each one going into that game. It's going to be the 3:30 CBS game, same with OU-Texas.
Correct.
Now, I'll be anxious to see if that changes when they come into the league. It probably won't, but we'll see. Brent, there are 4 unbeaten still left. I'm sorry. 4 teams that have not won a game in FBS. Be a damn good Final Four, though.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Now, Florida State, Navy, and Ohio won. So, Arizona, UConn, UMass, and UNLV. That's pretty funny, Shane. That's a great point. That'd be a great basketball foursome, wouldn't it?
It would. We're going back. You know, UMass hasn't been great lately. You know, UNLV or UConn. But, yeah, those are some basketball schools there, no question about it. I tell you, a team that has really done a lot since – I can't remember who blew them out early. It was Stanford. They have been upsetting people every week, it seems like.
Stanford is one of these teams that they're always amazing every other year. Still think they do a good job. Stanford still reminds me of an SEC school. Now, to tell you how good they are, and this is kind of interesting, Oregon's been good now for a while, but this is the 5th time in 20 years that Stanford has beaten Oregon when they were in the top 10. So wow. That really tells you something about how good that Stanford is, and I'm curious if you do too, but I've always thought that David Shaw is a good football coach, and they're not great every year, but I think they're getting the point of where they're certainly at least good every year too. So that's made a difference for him.
Yeah, it's strange because I do think he's a good football coach, but it seems like Stanford loses to the teams they shouldn't lose to.
They
always upset the teams that they should have no business being on the field with. It's a very weird deal there. Turn your car or truck into a rolling billboard for your business or brand with an eye-catching vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot this October. Mention promo code Shane, get 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking here with our Heisman Trophy voter, Brent Beard, on the Titan MR Hotline. All right, Brent, let's jump into the conference. Alabama, big win over Ole Miss. Didn't one of their top players go out with an injury? Done for the year?
Yep. Yeah. Well, he's done for a few games. But by the way, I looked it up. Stanford lost to Kansas State, was who you were thinking about.
Yeah.
in the first game of the year, so that hurt them. But they, as you said, they've really rebounded. So again, kudos to David Shaw. As far as Alabama, they've had Chase McClellan, one of their running backs, had a knee injury. He was basically their number two guy. He will miss the rest of the year. Now, they've still got, obviously, Brian Robinson, who ran wild over Ole Miss, Rodale Williams, Trey Sanders. Cameron Wheaton has been hurt, so he is not able to play yet. Now, the guy you're thinking about, I think, is linebacker Drew Sanders.
That's right.
Who is really playing well. What happened is, and you probably had this happen to you, I hope you haven't, but Drew Sanders broke his hand in the Ole Miss game. And then what happened, they put a soft cast on it, and he went back to play, and he tore ligaments in his thumb. Oh. So Shane, that's a double whammy for your hand, is it not? I don't know if you've had something like that, but he is out. He's had surgery on it, and he is out 2 to 6 games.
Okay. They travel to College Station to face the Aggies, which I think majority of us thought this was going to be a huge game before the season started. I know I did. A&M is in just shambles right now. Jimbo catching a lot of heat out there?
Well, he's catching some, but I think they've realized part of this is injury situation. Chase Lane, their redshirt freshman wide receiver, is considered day-to-day. The other problem they've had, their center, Luke Matthews, had surgery. Yeah, that's right. Had surgery. He is gone for the year. Miles Jones, a cornerback. Brian George, a cornerback. Both are going to miss the rest of the year. The two main problems they've got are their offensive line has not lived up to billing. And Zach Calzada at quarterback, frankly, is just not working. He's got a 5-4 touchdown interception ratio. Now, we're not sure when Haynes King is coming back, but as far as in scoring, with all their weapons, Isaiah Spiller and Widmeyer at tight end, Anaya Smith, Shane, this is hard to believe, A&M is 101 in the nation in scoring points.
It blows my mind because you just mentioned they got three to four guys that are NFL players, the two running backs, the slot receiver, the tight end, and they just don't get touches somehow. It just blows my mind. But, yeah, I think Alabama wins that game handily. I think one that's extremely intriguing, both teams coming off losses, Arkansas travels to Oxford to face the Rebels.
This is still a really important game despite the losses because, frankly, one of these teams may end up in a New Year's Six Bowl. I still think both these teams are really up-and-coming football teams. So this is going to be fascinating in a lot of ways. Now, Ole Miss still can't stop the run as Alabama ran for about 250 yards on them. The question is, Arkansas – between KJ Jefferson and Traylon Smith, their running back, and also Raheem Sanders, they're averaging 5 yards a carry. So, Shane, if logic gives you something here, Ole Miss is not good in stopping the run. You're averaging 5 yards a carry. I think that would probably be the game plan. Now, Arkansas is making a couple of changes on the offensive line, hoping to bolster that situation a little bit. And Ole Miss's defense is a little bit improved. Tavius Robinson's one of those guys who is coming around, and they like what he has done. But at this point, even though the game is at Ole Miss, Ole Miss has got to be careful that Bama doesn't beat him twice. So that this really is a huge game, and it's another noon game too.
Yeah, Dan says on Facebook Live, the loser of this game's in trouble, he thinks. And here's what's interesting, and I don't have the schedules in front of me, but I'm thinking about the SEC West. You know, obviously Alabama's at the top. Everybody else, though, I mean, you could see second place in the West have three, maybe four losses.
There's no question about that. And that's why that we've got some of these teams have got like an Arkansas has got a really hard schedule that's coming up. Auburn's got a really hard schedule that's coming up too. Arkansas and Auburn play each other next week. Now Georgia, Kentucky do too. But no, your point's a good one, and especially with if A&M loses to Alabama, what we think they will, that they will be out of it. And I tell you, the team that may take advantage of a lot of this, people may laugh about it, but if Mississippi State continues to play well, they could rise up and be a factor in the West as far as in second place.
They could. The oldest rivalry in the SEC, Auburn and Georgia on the Plains. Auburn coming off just a great comeback win in Tiger Stadium. Can they give the Dogs any kind of game?
I think they can give them some trouble. obviously, the game being at Auburn, and strange thing happens at Auburn. But it was a big win for Brian Harsin over one of his rivals with LSU. Auburn's going to be without T.D. Moultrie and Owen Papo on defense. This is amazing stat. Auburn had its first 100-yard game by a tight end since Andy Fuller 27 years ago when John Samuel Schenker caught five passes for 102 yards. So that's something that you don't see very often. Bo Nix, as you saw the other night, kind of what happened is Bo scrambled around like Johnny Manziel and actually completed a couple of those passes, but he's still struggling as a 50% passer. So, but I do think Georgia's defense will rise up to the occasion. Georgia's defense is still the dominant unit on the field. Shane, this is amazing, but so far this year in five games, Georgia's defense has given up one offensive touchdown.
Yeah, that is crazy. They are extremely good on that side of the ball. I saw a stat, and I think I'm correct on this. That's the first win for Auburn in Tiger Stadium since 1999, which is hard to believe.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah, that's hard to believe. Florida has homecoming against Vanderbilt. Shouldn't have any issues with them. Obviously, how do the Gators bounce back after the upset loss to Kentucky? Vanderbilt – Brent, I said this, I don't know if I said it on my show or another show I was on this week. They might be the worst SEC team ever in the history of our conference rolling in here. Is that a dumb statement to make?
No. I mean, they very well may be. And the fascinating thing is they've won two games, have been non-conference games, but they've won them. Joseph Bulovas, who used to kick for Alabama, has won two games this year, as he did over the UConn game. Vandy's last in the SEC in scoring with 16 points per game. Ken Seals, frankly, is a decent quarterback. I mean, he was 20 of 40 for 333 in the UConn game. I think in this game, Shane, and I know you probably talked about it a lot this week, I think Florida needs to do two things. I think, first of all, they've got to find a way to communicate with their offensive line and quarterback besides a hand clap. If it's hand signals or drawing in the dirt or whatever it might be, they've got to do something to fix that situation so that they can cut these penalties in half. And I think another thing is, and I'm not talking about Anthony Richardson replacing Emory Jones. I don't think that's going to happen. But I think it's only fair to the offense and to Richardson that he get a series each half. I think that would be beneficial, particularly at the time if Jones got hurt and you need him. So, look, people see this as a throwaway game. I think for Florida, there's things they can learn here.
Yeah, we need to take some shots. I do know that. The Kentucky Wildcats host LSU, which is a huge game for Kentucky. They stay undefeated. It's going to be anxious to see how Kentucky responds after, you know, storming the field, walking to class, sitting in class, reading Twitter, all this stuff about how they finally beat the Gators at home. Can they handle the success? What do you think is going to happen in Lexington?
Well, this is a maturity game is what Shane's talking about, folks, and I agree with that totally. Is it's one thing to storm the field and pay your $250,000 fine to the SEC, which I still think is ridiculous. But anyway, and they've got the weapons and Chris Rodriguez at running back and Wandale Robinson at wide receiver. Will Levis has been kind of a game manager, but he is an improvement over what they've had. Now, Joseph Ali has been ruled out for the next 2 weeks. He's a wide receiver for Kentucky. So that is going to hurt them. Kentucky has lost the turnover margin in four of the five games, and they were even with Florida. So that's a real concern for them. They've had 3 5-0 starts in 35 years. Two of the three have come under Mark Stoops. How about that, Shane? So, listen, I'll go briefly on LSU. LSU has a lot of injuries. Major Burns, the safety, is out. Derek Stingley is out with that foot injury, and he may end up opting out. I hope he doesn't, but I won't be surprised. Since winning the national championship, Ed Orgeron is 8-7. Since 2019, they're averaging 2.4 yards rushing. And by the way, Ed Orgeron's buyout, this has been brought up this week, is nearly $17 million for wow. LSU fans. Now, you're going to think this is crazy, but remember the Florida game last year. This is a type of game that LSU actually wins. When their backs are against the wall and you don't think they can do anything at all offensively, somehow they come up with a way to win. I still like Max Johnson. I'm curious your thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. But would it shock you if somehow LSU found a way to win this game?
It would not. It would not at all. And I think Max Johnson's played well this year. Another intriguing game in the SEC, South Carolina travels to Tennessee after Tennessee just hammered the Missouri Tigers and just ran it down their throat all day long.
The interesting thing about this game is this game is important because it's what we call a 50-50 game. It's one of those games that you can win, and frankly, the winner may end up going to a bowl game because of a win like this. South Carolina is frankly doing okay. I mean, Luke Doty is back at quarterback. He's completing about 60% of his passes. They're able to run the ball a little bit, even though Kevin Harris has been a bit of a disappointment. Their own defense, frankly, South Carolina's been really good. They've got 14 takeaways on the year, so that's been a real plus for them. But Tennessee's found a quarterback finally in Hendon Hooker. He's played very well against Missouri. So I think this may be a game with Missouri struggling, South Carolina struggling to score, that Tennessee can score, and that will give them an advantage in this game. So it's an important game for both these teams.
It really is. Brent, before we let you go, Florida State finally got their first win this past week.
Yeah, I was really glad to see that, winning field goal in the last second. They've got North Carolina that's coming up. They're 1-4. Turnover margin, they are 91st in the nation in forced turnovers, so that's something they've got to be able to fix. And we'll also mention this real quick. Missouri hosts North Texas, and Missouri is just an absolute abysmal mess defensively. They actually fired the defensive line coach, Jethro Franklin, one day after the Tennessee game. Hopefully they can get that together, because they could be 3-3 if they can beat North Texas.
They can. Is Wake Forest the best team in the ACC?
At this point, you can make that argument. They're undefeated, that they are playing well. At this point, too, now Boston College has had a good year so far. But yeah, I think you certainly could say that they are very possibly the best team. Miami has the week off, but they had a fight on the field on Tuesday. I think some people are making a big deal out of that, but it was one of those things to where you had the old rule of if someone's lazy and running, you start over, even if you've almost finished all your laps. So they didn't like that. Afterwards, they called a players meeting. So hopefully that will help them down the line.
I want to read This Day in Sports, get your thoughts on this. It's brought to you by our good friends at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. Comfort Temp's now hiring team members with all levels of experience. $1,000 signing bonus for qualified positions. Give Comfort Temp a call at 352-376-2366. Brett, were you covering Georgia Tech in 1916? So on this day in 1916, Georgia Tech, coached by a guy named John Heisman, defeats Cumberland 222-0, the most lopsided score in the history of college football. I don't know how you can score that many points, but I wonder back in the day if they were blaming John Heisman for running the score up.
Probably so. And matter of fact, John Heisman is named after John Heisman. But yes, that was I have to look up every now and then what the halftime score was. So as I say, that game was over by half, and it certainly was.
Well, poor Cumberland should have asked for the running clock like Vanderbilt.
Absolutely. That's what they should have done.
Brent, good stuff as always, my man. We appreciate you taking the time to join our program. Enjoy the weekend.
Shane, always a joy. Take care.
That's Brent Beard, our college football analyst and Heisman Trophy voter, joining us on the Titan More Hotline. You can follow Brent on Twitter at Brent Beard. We're going to take our first time out. We're going to come back, talk a little high school football with the Prep Zone's Marty Palmer. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's gonna be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Big Mills Cheesesteaks. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Are you tired of being sidelined by nagging pain? Hi, I'm Emmitt Smith, Hall of Famer and Dance with the Stars champion. Happy to tell you about QC Kinetics and their biologic therapies for treating pain without drugs or surgery.
Are you suffering from chronic pain in your hips, knees, shoulder, or lower back? Are you tired of living with arthritis pain? QC Kinetics offers natural pain treatment that can repair and restore damaged tissue in your joints.
Listen, I know pain, and I've seen firsthand how powerful biologic therapies can be. Patients at QC Kinetics rave about their result because they're getting their lives back. They're getting moving again.
These exciting regenerative treatments used to be available only to pro athletes like Emmett. Now they're available to anyone thanks to QC Kinetics. Call today for your free consultation.
Get long-lasting results from my friends at QC Kinetics.
Call QC Kinetics 352-400-4550. In North Central Florida, call 352-400-4550. QC Kinetics 352-400-4550.
Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar, located on top of Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Celebration Point, is now open Thursday through Saturday. Visor's covered open-air bar is the perfect place to gather after work or meet up with friends. You'll love the handcrafted cocktails and elevated shareables available every Thursday through Saturday. Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar is perfect for fans of great food, great drinks, and great weather. Visor's not required. High spirits are highly encouraged. Visit Spurriers.com/visors.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration Point, that's where the Gators go to celebrate. With premium brands like Nike, Prime and Pearl, Regal Cinemas, Medici, Dave & Buster's, Skechers, and the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. Make your reservations today at Spurrier's.com. And now open Thursday through Sunday, Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. I want to thank Brent Beard for joining us on the Titan MR Hotline. We got some baseball tonight. At 4 o'clock, you got the Astros and the White Sox. And then we got the Rays tonight hosting the Red Sox in the NFL. Got a really good game, Seahawks and Rams. We're going to talk a little high school football now. And we're going to head to the Titan MR Hotline, and we're joined by marvelous Marty Palmer from theprepzone.com. Good morning, Marty. How are you?
Morning, Shane. Good to be with you as always.
Marty, I'm expecting you just woke up because you stayed up and watched the end of that baseball game.
You guessed it. You know, I'm a baseball guy. I like watching baseball anyway, and especially love the playoffs. So, yeah, I was up watching that game, and, you know, especially when it's a one game like that where the winner go home, it really takes on a lot of – I'm not a big fan of it, but it takes on a lot of pressure because, you know, one home run and the Cardinals are done. So, yeah, I was up watching that game last night.
Yeah, I watched it till it was 1-1. When they tied it up 1-1, I went to bed. I couldn't stay up any longer. And I watched my first baseball game Tuesday night. That was my first game of the year. I only start watching during the playoffs because it's like the other games don't matter. But playoff baseball is outstanding. So you got two games today. You got a good NFL game tonight and a couple of college games. And there's a lot of big games this weekend in high school football, especially one kicking off here at Citizens Field tonight, the big city rivalry, Gainesville High School against Buchholz. Gainesville High has got a pretty good squad this year, it looks like. Buchholz has a very good squad. What do you think is going to happen in this game, Marty?
Well, yeah, due to UF homecoming this week, Shane, we got a few games tonight in the area, but this is the big one at Citizens Field, Gainesville and Buchholz. And, you know, I think if you were to look at this game before the season, you would have said probably Buchholz wins this by, you know, a lot, probably 21 to 28 points. And they might still win tonight going away, but at least GHS is in the conversation now. And that's the good news for them. They've won four in a row coming into this game. They've beaten Trinity Catholic, and they've had a couple big wins as well, you know, in that winning streak, beat Bishop Moore from Orlando. So Gainesville's getting some looks. Now, Buchholz is better talent-wise right now. They just are. And their only loss this year is the Cardinal Gibbons, that defending state champ from down in Fort Lauderdale. And both teams are 4-1, so the records are the same. So we'll see. It's a city rivalry. I think, you know, games will be fired up. They always are. These two teams are always fired up for this game. So I'm interested to see if Gainesville can hang with Buchholz tonight or if Buchholz is going to be a little bit too much for them. And that the game's at 7 o'clock tonight at Citizens Field.
Are you on the call tonight?
Yeah, I'll be there with Mike Rideout tonight. We're broadcasting radio and internet tonight, and the TV boys are going to be out there as well for the local TV My 11 TV game of the week. So, yeah, it's a big one. It should be a pack for the city game. It always is, so I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if the weather's going to be great, but, yeah, I don't know. Buchholz is the best team in the area, probably in the city, but, you know, we'll see if Gainesville can hang with them.
And as you mentioned, homecoming kind of – well, Gator homecoming kind of changes around the scheduling in this area. Who else plays tonight?
Hawthorne is playing tonight against a team from Clearwater called American Collegiate. One of that team – I think that team's played a few area teams. But they're in action tonight as well. And Santa Fe's playing at home tonight looking for their first win against Fernandina Beach. So those area games are tonight. Newberry will be playing tomorrow night. They're on the road. And same for Eastside. Eastside's on the road, so they play Friday night at Clay. And Eastside's still looking for their first win of the year after losing to North Marion last week. So that's another district game for the Rams. They'll be on the road in Green Cove against Clay. But, yeah, some teams that are home, if they're home, they're playing tonight. If they're on the road, they still play on Friday night.
At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today at 352-244-0840. Mm-hmm. Speaking with Marvelous Marty Paulman from thepreppzone.com. We got a Facebook Live here brought to you by Meldon Law. John says, Miami Edison is going to the Panhandle to play Niceville. Nationally, wow. Niceville is ranked 88th and Miami Edison 187. Should be a great game. That's a long bus ride. Whoa. Mm. From Miami to Niceville.
I almost wonder if they're flying. That is a heck of a bus ride. That's the entire state almost.
Yeah, that is a long, long ways. All right, Marty, let's talk smaller classification because, you know, in our area, there's a ton of 1A football and some really good teams. You spoke about Hawthorne, but I know Union County, Dixie County, Trenton, those guys always have good programs. How's that shaking out right now, 1A football?
Well, 1A football is basically where you have all the undefeated teams in the area. I mean, Union County is still unbeaten, and they got a big game. They're coming up tomorrow night over in Cross City against Dixie County. That's always a good rivalry, close game between these two teams. So I expect a big one there. But Union County is still unbeaten. Chiefland is still undefeated as well. And like I said, those are the teams in the area that are unbeaten. And Hawthorne has been the team that we've all paid attention to. But, you know, you've still got other 1A teams in this area that are playing good football right now. And then I think up in Lafayette, they only have one loss to this point. And then who was the other one I mentioned? Union County. So, yeah, there's some undefeated teams there. But I think if you're going to look at the best teams in 1A right now, I think Union and Hawthorne might be the two best in the state. Madison County's having kind of a tough year for them. Bradford started off with a tough season, but they won a couple games in a row, including beating Swanee. So, you know, I think 1A football is about as strong as it can be. Newberry has struggled a little bit, but they're coming on as well. So I think you're going to see a lot of 1A teams that have a shot again to get back to the state championship game this year.
If you head down to Marion County, Trinity Catholic had a rough start. I think they've won a couple in a row. Vanguard is still the premier team in that area, correct?
Yeah, Vanguard is. They're undefeated still, 5-0 after they actually got a forfeit win last week against a team that from Dade City that wasn't in their – was supposed to be in their district, but because of injuries and other issues, they had to pull out of the district. But, yeah, they're actually on the road in Tampa this week against Tampa Jefferson. That's a non-district game. But Vanguard has had a hard time at times finding teams to play them. But Carroll City was supposed to come up there from Miami and play a couple weeks ago, and then they pulled out of the game. But, yeah, Vanguard's rolling. Trinity Catholic started off 0-2, but, you know, they lost to GHS among those two losses. And they've come back the last couple of weeks with a couple of wins on the road at Clearwater and then Central Catholic. And then last week they beat Wildwood, which is a good win for them. Wildwood was undefeated coming into that game. So, yeah, the Celtics seem to be coming on at the right time. North Marion is 3-2 after beating Eastside last week. And their only losses this season so far have been to Vanguard and to Vero Beach, who's an 8-8 team that they put together the week of the game. And this week, a good test for North Marion, though, as they head to Dunellen. And Dunellen started 0-2, but, of course, they lost to Buchholz and to Vanguard, and they've come back with three straight wins. So they're starting to look, you know, like their normal self as well. So, yeah, Marion County football is pretty tough, and some of these teams that started off slowly are starting to come on.
Yeah, and Brady's done a really good job with Bellevue. I think they won one game in like 3 years, and now they've won four or five.
Five and one.
So I know they got a big showdown with Vanguard in a couple of weeks. John says on Facebook Live, Marty, don't be counting out Matt Brunson and Baker. I guess he was referring to when you were giving a breakdown of the 1A schools.
Nope, you can't. It's absolutely right. And when I say 1A, and I mean, you know, in this area, we have a lot of good 1A teams. But, of course, the defending state champ is Baker. And that team is going to run, and run all night. So, yeah, you can't count them out. And when we get closer to the playoffs, I'm sure we'll be seeing Baker coming out of that north part of 1A again.
Yeah, so Baker will probably make it there against one of the local teams here, a Union County, a Hawthorne, one of those type of teams. No question about it. Real quick before we let you go, up in the Jacksonville area, the two premier teams are still Bowles and Trinity Christian?
Yeah, in fact, they played last week, Shane, Bowles and Trinity Christian, and Bowles won 35-0. That was a little bit of a surprise, I think, there for Bowles to win that large of a margin at Trinity Christian. So I would say right now Bowles is the best team up there. And since they played Trinity Christian, that seemed to give Bowles an edge. But yeah, I think Bowles is, you know, maybe on another collision course. They're in Class 4A. I don't know if it would be Cardinal Gibbons again, but you know, it's a possibility. And Bowles right now has been rolling along. They're unbeaten and having no problems up there. Bartram Trail, you know, in St. Johns County, they're at 4-1 right now, with only loss coming up to Tallahassee Lincoln to this point. So, yeah, if you're going to look at teams in that area, Bowles probably followed by Bartram Trail. As far as the private schools are always better, it seems like, in Duval County than the public schools. And then St. Johns County football is excellent too. So, yeah, that right now, Bowles winning that game with Trinity Christian has given them probably bragging rights in the area.
Yeah. O.J. Small still coaching over there at Jacksonville. What is that school called now? They're not Jacksonville Lee anymore.
Riverside. And they're another team to watch. They're undefeated, 5-0. They're at Riverside High School now, although they're still the Generals. They kept that name.
But that makes no sense.
Robert E. Lee, yeah. So they're now the Riverside Generals. You know, about 5-6 years ago, Forest High School became Westside High School there. So, yeah, it's, you know, those names are changing left and right, but Riverside, that's another team, or you want to call them Lee. They're another team that's rolling along, and they have a meeting coming up with Columbia, as those two are in the same district again. So that'll be the big matchup there in 6A, District 2, between Lee and Columbia. I call them Lee still. Riverside and Columbia coming up in a few weeks.
What was Westside called before they changed their name?
Forest.
Jackson.
Forest High School.
Oh, Forest. Yeah. Forest. Okay. Forest. And what was their nickname?
Well, they were the Rebels. I think they were the Rebels.
Yeah. I think you're right.
They're the Wolverines now, Westside Wolverines.
Yeah, Westside Wolverines. Right. But it makes no sense that Riverside is still the Generals. You would have thought they would have changed that as well. Last thing, Seatric Faison took over the Fletcher program there real late. How's Fletcher doing this year?
They're struggling. I think they picked up their first win a couple weeks ago, but they started the year 0-3, which for them is a little bit different. Fletcher's always had a good program, but that situation is going to take a little bit of time for him to get situated. You know, he's been on that staff over there, but you know, not being a head coach and they have won two in a row. Pardon me. So they started off 0-3, so they're starting to turn it around. They beat Atlantic Coast last week, who's one of their rivals out in that part of Jacksonville. So it's good to see they won a couple in a row, but you know, they dropped the game early to Terry Parker, to Andrew Jackson. Those are teams they probably should beat, although they were close, but two wins the last couple weeks, and they got a big win, Fleming Island, so that helped. And now Atlantic Coast, and now a big one coming up against Revolt this week. So yeah, they're starting to turn around a little bit, but it's good to see him coaching that team. Hopefully he'll continue to get his alma mater back to where they, you know, where they've been in the past.
Marty, before we let you go, you're a baseball guy, as you mentioned. The playoffs are pretty much set now. We got series. Who is going to win the World Series?
Well, I'm a Braves fan, so, you know, I couldn't just sit here and say the Braves. But, you know, I think the Braves have a shot, but if I had to bet on it, I would say it's going to be the Dodgers from the NL and then the AL. That's tough. I'm going to say the Rays again. I think we're going to have a replay of Dodgers and Rays. I think the Rays have the best team in the AL. They've proven it by winning the AL East again, and I kind of have that feeling the Rays are going to go back to the World Series.
Should be a good one. Well, Marty, let everybody know before we let you go how they can listen to y'all's call tonight for Buchholz Gainesville High.
Tonight we'll be on theprepzone.com, also local radio 106.9 FM in Gainesville. Mike Rideout and myself will be on the call tonight along with Cam Parker. We're going to have a three-man crew. So looking forward to a Thursday night big game from Citizens Field tonight, Gainesville and Buchholz.
Should be a good one. Marty, we appreciate you taking the time to join the program. Have a good call tonight, my man.
All right, Shane. Good to be with you. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, that's marvelous. Marty Fallman from thepreppzone.com breaking down high school football in our area for us. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Thursday edition.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, won't back down. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. QC Kinetics, live pain-free with QC Kinetics. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Our Gridiron sponsors are Auto ER, UF Bookstores, Celebration Point Town Center, South State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage, Silverback Concrete Co. Some of our touchdown sponsors are MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Aver and Smith, Dowling Signs, Baker's Sporting Goods, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure you follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. We really want to thank our good friend Brent Beard and Marty Palmer joining us on the Titan MRI Hotline. At Center State Bank, they are now South State Bank, but they still put business first. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State still has four convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking forward, member FDIC. I got a fantasy football request to all our listeners. I know everybody here plays fantasy football, and I'm not I usually forget to set my team in my league, but should I play Aaron Rodgers at quarterback this week, or should I play Matthew Stafford? Those are my two quarterbacks. So if anybody's got any suggestions before we log off, because I got to make a decision tonight, because I didn't even realize Stafford plays tonight. So I need to put him in the lineup if you fantasy folks think I should. Make sure you tell all your friends and family to follow our program on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, any of those 40-something digital platforms out there. The more, the merrier. We really appreciate you engaging. If you got any businesses out there that may want to advertise with us, we got a couple spots that we've kind of made spots because we've had a couple extra people ask us. But we'd love to have you be a part of our program. Rick says on Facebook Live, and I know Rick doesn't know a dang thing about fantasy football, but he tells me I can't go against Aaron Rodgers. You're right. However, I had him week one, and he scored like the lowest point total in the history of like quarterback play. But anyway, you're right. I think he's – now I got Marissa saying I should do Matthew Stafford. So – y'all are no help, no help at all. and now my producer's laughing at me. That's why I'm not good at fantasy, because like I told you, majority of the time, I don't even set the lineup, and I have guys playing that are on a bye week. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to it, and I probably should. Before we get out of here, though, folks, if you've got joint pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back that won't go away, you need to check out QC Kinetics for long-lasting relief. No surgery, drugs, or downtime. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics, 352-400-4550. I got a good friend who's actually going down there today, or maybe he went yesterday. I need to check it out because I know I'm going to have to check it out as well. John says he started Brady over Stafford last week, and I paid for it bad. Yeah, Stafford usually puts up good numbers. I got all kinds of people chiming in now. I appreciate it. Well, anyway, hope you guys enjoyed today's program. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. Today's show's a wrap. Brought to you by Rap Spot. We'll see you tomorrow.
First and 10. Matthews, near side, wide open, Alonzo Sullivan. He may go. Touchdown, Gators.